I open up the program today with a list. The Stadium District, the Lofts on Washington Square, the Lansing Brewing Company, Easttown, Marketplace, Avenue Flats, the Outfield. For more than 20 years, our first guests have launched these and dozens of other residential and corporate development projects in and around Lansing. Pat and Scott Gillespie and their respective companies, the Gillespie Group and the Gillespie Company, are almost continually building or rebuilding parts of the Lansing area. Bob Trezise, CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, LEAP, say the Gillespies helped transform a woe-is-us self-esteem problem in our city into an attitude of anything is possible. To talk about their work and various related topics, we welcome Pat and Scott Gillespie to Current State. Good to see you.
Morning, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for being here. Both MSU grads, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Construction management?
Construction management.
For both of you?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to ask each of you about how many launched projects you have going on right now everywhere, because I know you work out occasionally, you work outside of Michigan. Between how many do you have going on right now, Pat?
I believe we have about four in the planning process or construction process right
okay.
now.
Okay. Scott?
We have two underway and two more that are in the planning.
And how many of those are in Greater Lansing, or in or near Lansing?
Three of those four.
Okay.
All of my four.
Okay. Update us on the projects that are on your short lists right now. Scott, is that Easttown Flats, Michigan Avenue, basically?
Easttown and the 2000 block of Michigan Avenue is starting actually today and tomorrow.
Okay.
We started with demolition a few weeks ago, and we'll start with foundations here in earnest next week.
And remind us what's on the 2000th block of Michigan Avenue that people will remember and what you have planned for there.
The 2000 block of East Michigan is the historic commercial core of the east side of Lansing. It used to house Amel's Restaurant, which was there for many, many years. There's a karate dojo that's been there for 40 years. We have removed six buildings, and we're building a four-story mixed-use building, about 12,000 square feet of commercial space, and 37 new apartments.
Are the neighbors, is the community in that neighborhood excited about this? I think anytime you plan a project that big, you know, as Mayor Bernero says, people don't like change. You know, are the neighbors, is the neighborhood excited about what you're doing?
You know, Mark, what we do, we take a strong focus on the community. We held a series of meetings and one large community forum to get their input. We made significant changes to the building design to gain their support and to hear from them. We listened, we changed the design, and since that time, we've had just an overwhelming supportive group from the community, and we're happy that we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Pat, what's at the top of your short list right now?
In about 60 days, we hope to start Marketplace Apartments, which is another phase along the river. Another 90 units, and that'll have a bar-restaurant attached within it along the river. The Clara's restaurant, we're going to reboot that, starting probably in November, December, hoping for a spring opening. We have a new corporate headquarters we're working with for downtown that we're optimistic on. And then we got another...
Can you name the company?
We cannot.
Okay.
But it's looking promising.
Understood.
It's a high-tech company. They're not currently located here. And then we have another... retail/manufacturer across from the brewery that we should be able to announce in the next 60 days. So,
what's most rewarding about this work for you, Scott?
You know, there's a lot of rewards to it. I guess, you know, one of our focuses is having a positive impact on a community in an area and building something that's innovative, something that can benefit everybody. But one of the things in building apartments that has always been heartwarming to me is knowing that it's somebody's home, that's where they celebrate holidays, that's where they celebrate birthdays, that's where they raise their children. So when you're building somebody's home, I take a lot of pride.
Anything you'd add to that, Pat?
No, he hit it right on the head. It's just community pride and people maybe holding their chest a little higher and their head a little higher when they drive by their community and see positive things going on.
I can't imagine what it's like to finish a project. I mean, there's so much. You guys think years out, you know, you're constantly looking quite a ways into the future. I can't imagine after working years on a project what it's like to actually open the door, let people in, especially when you're talking about homes or apartments or lofts or whatever. What's most challenging about this work?
I think right now the most challenging part is the approval process. A lot of the sites that we work with are environmentally contaminated, urban. So they have zoning restrictions, they have setback restrictions, and then you have, you know, height restrictions. So it's just getting through the process of, you know, that can take 2 to 3 years in some instances of planning. And that planning takes time, money, and expertise that, you know, you could spend 2 years on a project and have it not happen. So that's probably the most challenging, is the unknown, and the approval process is usually the unknown part.
Talk with us about working with municipal governments. Typically, for example, I mean, what's it like working with the city of Lansing on a project?
You know, there's a lot of support from the city. There's a lot of challenges as well. You know, as Pat was mentioning, some of the zoning challenges and you know, the politics can get difficult. But at the same time, what we've done in the recent past is try to work with the community and try to show that we are that we're responsive and that we care and we're going to listen. So I think that's earned us some good favor, but it's there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of restrictions, and there's a lot of costs that go along with cleaning up an urban site.
What single person would you say, you got a project, you're working with the city on some public-private thing, I guess, who is it you're in contact with the most? Is that Bob Trezise? Is that the mayor's office, a city councilor? Who is that?
It's Bob Trezise is the point person, and he seems to be able to navigate his way through the system and help get you in touch with who needs to get done. But, you know, Bob's been there a while, and he knows what's going on, so he seems to be our first point of contact, and his team, too. He's got a heck of a team.
Our guests are Pat and Scott Gillespie of the Gillespie Group and the Gillespie Company, respectively. Virge Bernero is perceived as having made a difference in Lansing, the open for business mayor. Is that perception accurate? Is that as deserved as it seems?
I believe it is. You know, he's very supportive. If you're doing things that match the vision of the city and their future plans, he knows what he wants, and he's supportive if there's some commonality.
More hoops to jump through in East Lansing. I think a casual observer might assume that there probably is.
I think there's definitely more hoops to jump through in East Lansing. It's a totally different community. It's a lot of upside in East Lansing, but it's definitely more challenging as you head east.
Does that get back to what you said about approvals, the approval process?
Yeah, the timing it takes in East Lansing is almost a deterrent in many instances to look at a project.
Mm-hmm. I feel obligated to ask about all the activity on Michigan on the Lansing-East Lansing line there, Red Cedar Renaissance and Skyview. Neither one is a project of yours, but are these, do you feel these are going to be as transformational as proponents have led everybody to believe?
I think the Red Cedar and the Skyview are going to be very transformational. The people they're going to bring on a daily basis, the bar restaurants they're going to bring, and the hotels, it's going to ripple effect in a massive way.
I couldn't agree more.
What do you think the future holds for the corner of Grand River and Abbott? I'd just like to get your thoughts on that, the old bank building and beyond. How do you move that forward? What would make most sense there?
I like the plan they have right now of a hotel I think they have hotel and living units and some retail. You need people living there after 5 o'clock. You need people living there on weekends. And then the hotel element brings a whole nother group of people that have disposable income to spend on, you know, the new retail that could go in. So mm-hmm. I like the plan they have proposed.
Mm-hmm. Pat, the residents of the outfield have seen their first lug nut season come and go. Has it been what you hoped?
Madly successful. I wish we would have done another floor, and being contacted by other minor league teams around the country right now to come do more.
What about City Market? Is it gonna make it? It's faced its fair share of challenges here.
I think the City Market is going to take some transformation over the next 12 to 18 months. Our next phase at Marketplace, adding the bar restaurant there, and we hope to make some pretty massive improvements to the park along the riverfront there. Make it more like a campus Martius park that's in Detroit that draws people for different events and happenings. So maybe that can be more of a hub, and the City Market could play a pretty major role in that.
It's a colorful spot. Have you gotten what's been the feedback to that? I imagine some people like it and some people don't. But
you know what? We do get negative comments on the colors, but it really, we don't advertise. People seem to know where, you know, hey, I want to live in that colorful building. So we get good and bad, but the people that are there seem to really like it.
You have to contend with the economy. You have to contend with city councils and mayors and economic development directors and realtors and what have you. Talk about the just the larger environment here for development. How does that environment change over time? You must go through good periods, maybe low interest rates, something like that, and then you go through rougher times. What's that environment like right now? It seems to be booming. It seems to be very good.
It is very good. It is very good. I think it starts, you know, with the economy. We're able to borrow money to build something and to create the visions that we have. But more so than that, we have support. And we have community support, and we have a changing, I don't want to say a changing local economy, but a growing local economy. And we have a push to retain the talent that's from Michigan State. We have a push towards urban development, which is all leading towards improvement of our streetscapes and sense of place and bringing people together.
When you get pushback, how do you deal with that?
Depends on who you're receiving pushback from, I guess. I think the biggest thing from my perspective is to listen. And we try to listen and we answer questions. A lot of times pushback is just, you know, as you mentioned, the resistance to change. And if you can listen and you can be genuine with that, I think you can work through a lot of the issues.
What percentage of your projects, Pat, are public-private? I mean, is that a significant number of them or fewer or what?
I would say about 50% of our developments have been public-private, but even when you have a private development, there's a public element. You have utilities, you have streets, you have some other, you know, part of the project that needs to be accessed from the public. So almost every project is a public-private because you have to go to the community and get it approved.
How did you both end up in development? Was this in the family or what?
No, our father was in the car industry, and you know, for me, I always liked the tangible aspect of building a building. I liked being able to see the impact that it had on a surrounding area.
Yeah, but you both ended up with that. It's interesting to have a car dealer father and two of the sons end up in construction management. How did that happen?
He actually encouraged us not to go into cars and to go into something that we have a passion for. And I guess, you know, my thought was always to, if I could own rental houses and help make a neighborhood better by fixing up houses that were an eyesore, that's how it started. And it kind of just grew into, boy, I can fix up bigger projects and bigger buildings and make an impact on a neighborhood.
Pat and Scott Gillespie are our guests here on Current State. Did either of you consider other careers ever? Or was this baked in the cake at an early phase?
I always thought an attorney or an accountant or something like that. But as I got older, I figured out that seemed pretty boring compared to what we do.
What about you, Scott?
You know, as a child, you know, I think a lot of boys want to do what their father does. You know, I thought about architecture, but I couldn't spend 6 years in school. And I was very fortunate to know what I wanted to do, to know that I wanted to go into construction and development. Yeah.
You run different companies today, but you were together for about a decade. Did you figure you'd spend about enough time together growing up in the same house? And then, or how did that unfold?
Well, I think we both achieved a level of expertise where we looked at each other and said, we can do a lot more projects separate, and we each have unique ideas and creative ideas. And for each of us to run with that path has been very rewarding to sit and cheerlead for Scott on the sideline. And I know he cheers for me, and to banter ideas back and forth. I think we can get more done in the community separate than we can together.
Do you ever find, though, that you're representing opposing interests in some way?
It's pretty rare. Pretty rare. I mean, we're both competitive people in a competitive industry, but I think it's, you know, as Pat was saying, we cheerlead for each other, stick up for each other. And we really haven't found ourselves on opposing sides. And, you know, I'd rather be a brother than I would an adversary. Mm.
I'm always struck by how much new housing has been created in recent years, and I sometimes wonder if we're not heading toward oversupply, toward a glut. Is there enough future demand to sustain everything that's out there and everything that's being planned.
Housing type is important. I think we're hitting a bubble in student housing around here. I think it's going up like crazy, and I think there's a lot more on the table. Some of the old product is really going to suffer, but I still think there's a huge demand for urban housing for millennials and empty nesters, and I guess we'll call it the, you know, I don't know what generation we call age 40 to 50, but there's a market for that in the urban core, but I do think there's a bubble in student housing right now.
Well, Scott, what do you think?
I would agree. I think the new student housing is you know, surpassing some of the older student housing and kind of forcing the older student housing to improve. I agree wholeheartedly with Pat that there's a market and it's quite broad. You know, we can't just look at the millennials. We're actually actively working with some seniors and doing some work with them to figure out what they need and what they want.
Well, there's a glut of baby boomers demographically here whose lives are changing right now as we speak. There's all kinds of people. I mean, you hear of baby boomers moving to the city who have lived in the suburbs and things like that. So, Pat, you mentioned 40 to 50-year-olds as making up a big part of your market, though, too. Scott, what about you? Who makes up the market, as you see it, for a recently built or planned development here in 2016?
You know, as I mentioned, we're finding that it's very broad. We have tenants that are recent graduates that are working downtown or working in East Lansing. We have mature professionals. We have entrepreneurs. We have a growing number of empty nesters.
We have some people listening to this thinking, what is Bayshore doing talking to a couple of rich developers? Developers are only driven by profit. When you encounter that attitude, how do you respond, Pat?
Well, it's a natural. I mean, if you look on TV, from the TV shows and stuff, the developers are always portrayed as, you know, tearing down trees, against the environment, just want to make money. So it's a fair assessment. But when you look at some of the things, you got to look at a person's actions. And when you look and you, we've done a Marshall Street Armory building that we're really not making any money on. But you look at, you know, the historic nature and reuse of the building and how it changed the neighborhood. You look at it and say, well, that maybe that wasn't profit driven. It's a community minded building full of nonprofits that we're charging subsidized rent to that the neighborhood uses, and it changed the park area. So you look at some of the actions and go, maybe that wasn't profit driven. Maybe there are other means to their madness.
Do you pay enough taxes?
We pay plenty of taxes.
Yes.
The last recession was a whopper, and I hesitate to say it, but another one will come someday. How do you plan for that? Can you plan for that?
It's hard to plan for it. And, you know, I was lucky enough to start my business in 2006 is when we separated and I went my own way, which was just a mere, 24 months before everything really hit the fan. So we weathered the storm by not over leveraging and not trying to do too much. I think it's, you know, if you can go into these with a conservative nature and not try to bite off more than you can chew, I think you can weather it. But we don't know how bad the next recession is going to be.
Scott Gillespie, his company is the Gillespie Company. Pat Gillespie, his brother and a fellow Lansing native, runs the Gillespie Group. We've been talking about development here in Lansing, their history, and what they make of the current environment. Pat and Scott, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.